الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى صدق الله العظيم. My respected brothers and elders, Hazrat Laqid ibn Sabira radiallahu anhu says that I'd come with a delegation to Medina Munawwara. Perhaps this must be around the 5th or the 6th year of Hijri after the truce of Hudaybiyah was signed. So there was an atmosphere of peace and understanding. Before this, it was quite dangerous to move around freely as a Muslim. You may be targeted, but now there was a peace treaty in place, so people from Mecca could come to Medina and people from Medina could come to Mecca Mukarramah quite freely. So they have come to Medina to learn. Obviously, once you have accepted Islam, then the second step is now learn. What is Islam all about? We have heard the broad principles of Islam. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. But do we have the first-hand understanding of Islam? It's two different things. One is to have a first-hand understanding of Islam, and one is just to have a broad idea of Islam. Two different things. Just to put you in the place, this afternoon an old woman phoned up. So in the course of her conversation, she had some problems. With the grace of Allah Ta'ala, they were sorted out. Now she's a woman over 90. So you enjoy speaking to someone like this because you learn quite a bit of experience, time they have seen, age they have seen people. So she's explaining, you know, how things have changed. So I asked, Auntie, but can you explain to me what you are referring to? So she says that some relative of hers, near or close or distant, was recently divorced. So she went on explaining that both the husband and the wife, very educated, professional people, bringing tons of money at home every month. But now the silly thing, and the marriage just broke. So she went on explaining that the husband had just pulled into the house, and perhaps it may have been a cold day, so he asked for some coffee. Now she's coming also from a professional background, so she says to him, I haven't come to this home as a servant, as a worker. There's the fridge, there's the coffee tin, there's the sugar, help yourself. So he couldn't understand this, and one thing led to the other, and there was a severance. Now then she's explaining to me what she was used to. She was brought up. Maybe they did not have too much of education or too much of exposure to madrasas, etc. But she had the spirit of Islam at heart, the understanding of Islam. Maybe the words she didn't know, but definitely, yes, she understood the message of Islam, the spirit of Islam. She says, we were brought up like this, that as the husband walks into the house, then what can I serve him? What will make him happy? It's a cold day, what should I do? Popcorn or whatever else? How should I make him happy? So now look at the diversity in the understanding. Both have studied Islam. Funny also studied Islam, that also studied Islam. But do you see the diversity? And the diversity is because of no right association. I mean, we've learned the concept, the theoretical side of it. But then when there was no association, then what is Islam all about? What is the true spirit of Islam? Then perhaps she didn't acquire it. And when she didn't acquire it, that home couldn't last. And when that home couldn't last, now there'd be a big, long procedure. The husband's family would say something, and the wife's family would say something, and nobody wants to be wrong. Everybody's right. No, she didn't come here to be working like this. Treat her as a human being. She must treat her with respect. One thing will lead to the other. The home will never settle. So anyway, this Laqit ibn Sabira, he says, we came in a delegation, and normally when you are representing a community, then very selected people come in, not just the rank and file, because you're representing an entire community, you need to understand it well, so that you will deliver it well. But if you didn't understand it well, then you won't deliver it well as well. So this a very selected class, very, very understanding class will be selected to represent. And he says thereafter, kunna natanawabu ri'ayata ibilina ri'ayata ibil. We should take turns in taking care of our mounts or camels. Right? So obviously 10-15 of them have come. And when they have come with all the camels and their mounts, they will have the camels, they will have their mounts, their luggage. So that cannot be brought right into the town because there is no pastures. So they have to leave it outside the town. And then all can't come to Nabi Sassan because if all are there, then who's going to take care of the camels? And all can't be by the camels because what they came for them. So they have to rotate. So natanawabu. Today it's my turn to take care, tomorrow it's your turn to take care. Now, he's showing exactly how a Muslim lives. What is the mentality? What is the mindset? How do we live? When you look at the life of the Sahaba, and you understand one basic principle, live and let live. Enjoy and let others enjoy as well. And this lesson can be brought out and can be learned in the precincts of a masjid. If you just know what is a masjid, and what are the adab of the masjid, then this lesson of live and let live, enjoy and let others enjoy, can be learned very beautifully if we know the adab, we understand what is these etiquettes aiming towards, what is leading towards. So when you're coming to a masjid, some of the adabs, the broad adabs and the etiquettes, that we don't have any foul smell. Someone may say, well, you apply ether, etc. But someone is smoking, or whatever else, and you're coming into the masjid, the person besides you, he finds discomfort, right? So he cannot talk to you, he cannot tell you anything because he doesn't know you. Or he doesn't know how you're going to respond, right? So he doesn't see anything, but his whole namaz is upset. Or it's the month of Ramadan, and you just had some savouries, and you just pulled into the first surf. And as you come in, and all that adrak and everything is just coming out. Now the person on the right is disturbed, the person on the left is disturbed, and you think, no, I got the first serve behind the imam, so beautiful. But the disturbance that you have caused, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, Rahmatullah, Allah Ta'ala, Zayf ibn Nur, was 15, 16 adab of the masjid, all from the hadith. So he says, how you should be entering the masjid. Come with the dua, right foot. Then see to it that there's no offensive smell. And you're not disturbing anybody. Disturbing anybody can be in different ways. And the smell can be in different ways as well. And he says, well, you don't take care of this adab. Then quoted a hadith, it says, that the very spirit of the masjid shrinks away, like how a skin is put onto fire, or a plastic is put into fire, and how that thing shrinks. So the very spirit of the masjid shrinks away. We may be thinking we are gaining, but really when that adab, those etiquettes are not being followed, then we are not gaining. So this one aspect is about not inconveniencing anybody, whether it's smell, whether whatever else. Similarly, we don't shout and we don't speak above our voices in the masjid. People are gathered for namaz, then even if we need to make some important mashwara, not around that time. Because what happens, you are making an important mashwara, you may think it's important, the next person thinks, well, I can talk, if he can talk, why can't I talk? And the third person carries on. Now, what happens to the ambiance of this masjid? The whole masjid ambiance is gone, it's spoiled. So, some matters are such that the elders should understand, alright, what's going to be the take of the youngsters if I do this? Right? Like someone may be reciting the Quran Sharif from his phone. I will not say it's impermissible. I will not say that it's impermissible, the reciting. Right? But a small young boy at the back, he sees that this man is looking at the phone. He doesn't know what he's looking at. Now he says, well, if he can look at videos, why can't I look at it? Now, see, he's taking the wrong cue. But where it came from here. Now the elder should think, oh, how is this child going to read me? Is he going to read me rightly or incorrectly? What is the better thing in respect to this child's understanding? What must I do? And what mustn't I do? A little bit of understanding, a little bit of reflection. The child, he's naive, he's coming up, he's in the developing stages. His mind may be going in a restricted place. This man is doing this, he can look at the phone, don't know what he's looking at. So I can look at it as well, and one thing leads to the other. And then you'll find that child looking at the porn site right in the precincts of the masjid. But now, where this starts off, it starts off like this. So therefore, the Sharia is very, very careful about these things. That you don't become a means of wrong. You're taking a step, don't become a means of wrong. There's a hadith which says, the worst person is that person who insults and swears his parents. So the Sahaba Ikram asked, but how can it ever be possible that any person swears and abuses his father? Well, you insulted his father, he insults your father. But who's the catalyst? You started it off. When you started it off, he replied, he responded in this way. So you were the means of your father being abused and insulted. So a little bit of understanding as to how people respond. So one is about smell, etc. One is about not shouting in the masjid. Hadith in Abu Dawud states, لَا كُنُّكُمْ كُلُّكُمْ مُنَاجٍ رَبَّهُ لَا يُؤْذِيَنَّ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. All of you all are talking to Allah Ta'ala, even if you're reciting Quran Sharif, but it's around a time where people are gathered for namaz, for example, for Isha namaz, around the time they're gathered for namaz. So don't recite the Quran Sharif as well in a loud tone, because now it's a different time. People have congregated for namaz, especially. And you're going to be saying, no, I'm reciting Quran Sharif, but loudly. What's wrong in doing so? So he's reciting, that person is reciting, the third person is reciting. I ask you, does it cause a disturbance at all? Yes, if it's some other time where nobody is really concerned about this, and you're reciting a little bit loudly, one child is making door to the other child, it's not a problem. Circumstance and times, you need to be considerate about it. So raising the voice. Similarly, to advertise a lost and found in a masjid. So he says that the person is my yunshidu dhalatan. He's advertising a lost and found in a masjid. Then you need to say la raddaha Allahu ilayk. May Allah Ta'ala don't return this thing to you. Now imagine, once I was in this masjid, Al-Mu'ayyusab rahmatullahi alayh, he's looking very distraught and down. He picks up a magazine and says, here, just look at this. How can they leave it in the precincts of the masjid? From the front to the end, it's nearly every page is an advertisement. Now and then, they're just fitting in some Islamic thing here and there. But nearly every page is just about some material gain. And it's left right within the precincts of the masjid. Now look at this type of situation in the light of this hadith, when Nabi Sallam is saying, La raddaha Allahu ilayk, may Allah not return this thing to you. So I ask you, if someone is advertising some worldly thing, some material product in the masjid, whether verbally, whether through a pamphlet or through a paper, I ask you, can there be any barakat in that? There can't be. It's impossible that he'll get barakat in it. He may think that, no, so many people will pick it up and my business will just grow. But when Nabi Sallam has announced, La raddaha Allahu ilayk, this thing cannot have any, it cannot contain any barakat. So, the way we conduct ourselves in the house of Allah Ta'ala. Then the third etiquette that is quite important and it's forgotten nowadays is Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala sufufil awwal. Allah Ta'ala and His malaika, they send their special blessings on the front rows. Now look at it. When we come to the house of Allah Ta'ala, we come as beggars. With our bowls, let us fill it up. Tere dar pe aaye hain, kuch lekar ke jayenge, ya mar ke jayenge. We have come to your house, we need our bowls to be filled up. So, here Allah Pak is announcing that if you come and occupy the front rows, Allah Pak and His malaika will make dua for you. The one that is waiting for namaz, as though he is in namaz, and as long as he doesn't break his wuzu, or he doesn't hurt anybody, he doesn't hurt anybody, he doesn't break his wuzu, then the malaika make three du'as for him. Allahumma ghfir lahu, Allah forgive him. Allahumma arhamhu, Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon him. Allahumma tubi alayhi. Allah Ta'ala send your special attention to him. Special attention. So the malaika continuously making du'a for that person, not disturbing, he's in the state of wuzu, he's not talking anything that's worldly, etc. As long as he's in that state, he is getting the blessings of the malaika. So now, you've come here, but you come the way you're supposed to be coming and how much you are gaining. Come and occupy the front rows. Now, just compare this against someone that is occupying the back rows without any valid reason. Someone who got a valid reason, old person, so he needs to rest the wall or something. It's a different thing. Sickly person or an old person. But now he's come to the masjid, and instead of occupying the front row, he's come to right at the back. As though he's showing an attitude to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, you know what? These people are in need, they need your blessings, I don't need it, I need to park in the back. Can't it be dangerous? It's dangerous, obviously dangerous. You're coming to the house of Allah Ta'ala, and casually, no sign of concern, significance, importance. Whereas the Quran Sharif says, أُولَٰئِكَ مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَن يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ. Coming to the house of Allah, they come in the state of concern, worry. Allah Ta'ala's house, coming in. Our Muhtamim Sahib, Qari Tayyab Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, you know, we are coming into the blessed months, right? And we all want some blessings. So, I know around that, around some time, there was some false rumors against Qari Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali. And every buzurg, every saintly person, according to his level, he gets his fair share. Within and without, small allegations, big allegations, he must come. And now it's so easy, just send it viral. Put on message viral to the whole world. And nobody got the time to go and investigate whether it's right or not right. But that panchayat, I must listen to it. And then I will believe that panchayat. And the Quranic teaching is so different. لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. You hear some rumor about a Muslim brother, then what's your duty? How are you supposed to be responding? ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. The first lesson is, think good of your brother. And then the second lesson, مَا كَانَ لَنَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا. Say, no, hey, we shouldn't be involved in this type of talk. مَا كَانَ لَنَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا. The third, سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا بُهْتَانٌ عَزِيزٌ. This is an open allegation, great allegation. How are we supposed to be responding to an allegation? someone is sending something viral this side, that side. We don't know about it. And I ask you that if we get ourselves involved in that allegation or that message that is taking its rounds, does it bring us any closer to Allah Ta'ala? Or do we become party to a sin? Imagine if that thing was wrong, right? An allegation, and I believed in it. Right? On the day of Qiyamah, I can be answerable. But this was a rumor, and it was doing its rounds. Did you have the proof that this person was like this? Now you summoned in the court of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah is asking that you heard about this, and you believed it, you entertained it, produce, present your proof. And then, you know, one is the active gossiping, and one is the passive. One is the one that is engaging, and the other is the one that is believing. But aren't they both wrong? This one is also wrong, that one is also wrong. So, Qari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, we're entering this Mubarak month, and each one wants to gain the maximum. But now it's nice to see how our Buzugari, how did they conduct themselves. Really, alright, that man in that position, so much a responsibility, and then allegations and whatever else, right? But he would say that when I leave the house, coming to the madrasa, then I inspect my heart, that have I got any malice, any hatred against any person? Even the person that had charged me with a wrong allegation. Is my heart absolutely clear? I will only leave the house when my heart is absolutely clear. For everybody. It's good for everybody. I don't have any malice, any reservation, any type of doubt about anybody. No doubt, no malice, no ill feelings. My heart is absolutely clear. So I look at him, I'm looking at him with a clear mind, with a clear heart. But what a wonderful person. What a wonderful thing. You left the house, but no malice, no dirty feelings, no ill feelings. Hazrat Luqman Hakim is the only non-Nabi whose words of wisdom are contained in the Quran Sharif. So someone seen him, and he says, you know what, but you went to that shepherd that was grazing goats at a certain spot. So, yeah, I'm the same shepherd. And weren't you a slave for so-and-so tribes? Yes. But then, how did you escalate that people from far and wide, they come and listen to your words of wisdom? How did you escalate like this? So he explained 3-4 points. But the two things that I remember now, one is I guard my tongue. I am absolutely strict on my tongue. Only the truth, nothing but the truth. And the truth means true at heart, true at tongue, and true in behavior. If it is just true in the tongue, not truthful in the behavior, or not truthful at the heart, you can't call yourself a truthful person. In the complete sense of the word, you cannot call yourself a siddiq. So that siddiq requires that there must be a harmony in the truth, whether it's in the heart, in the tongue, or in your behavior. Absolutely truthful. You got a mehman at an awkward time, right? So, hey, mashallah, what an honor to receive you. But your heart is cursing, by, I don't know, kabab ni arku kati avidya. Hey, this man here, spanning the works. Why do you have to come at this time? But now, outwardly, we are displaying a good behavior. I ask you, is that right? So the heart, the tongue, and the behavior, all this, They're in harmony. All, everything is harmony. But that is truthful. So this Qari Sahib was like this. When you see Qari Sahib, you're like that. With all the burden, difficulties, allegations, abuse, etc. When he comes up from his face, you can see the man. Unke dil mein zarra barabar bhi kina. He's got no kina. Absolutely no dirt at all. Absolute no dirt. And sometimes, if he has to expel a student, not because he wants to expel the student, because the shura is saying it. Qari Sahib says, I don't even know that this person said this against me. He's forgotten. His heart is so clean. He says, I don't even know that this person had mentioned this against me. He's forgotten about the whole thing. But now the shura constrains, no, this person can't be in the madrasa because of this, etc. then in under constraints, then you say, all right. But now, I've seen people labeling curry sahib terrible allegations. And the next week they come with a maafi nama, letter of apology. Curry sahib, hey, skulelova. And he'll never even insinuate, he won't even indicate, oh, this was the person who mentioned this against me at that occasion. And you know what happened to my reputation? Like, you look here, curry sahib, hey, man, it's forgotten. His memory is so weak, it's forgotten that thing totally. So that was the purity of that. When Allah Pak wants to take someone, escalate, then that's the level of heart Allah Pak gives. قَدَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. See, this tazkiyah, this purity, must be at that level. So, we're talking of some of the adab of the masjid, right? Then a third important thing is, one is raising the voice and inconveniencing, one is in the masjid, and what is around the precincts of the masjid. In the parking bay, wherever, right? But we have that consideration, or if someone is engaged in namaz, the imam sahib is performing, he's reciting the qiraat, I need to be very considerate, the way I'm walking and coming in, the way I'm talking outside the masjid, that voice is filtering through, he's getting disturbed. And when I'm disturbing him, what a disturbance. The man is, it's between him and Allah Ta'ala. And you interrupting a situation, you interrupting a person that is with Allah Ta'ala. Can you imagine how serious this is? You interrupting, who are you interrupting? Man is with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and you interrupting him. Is it a small offense or is it a serious offense? So, the house of Allah Ta'ala must be so peaceful. You come here, you want to be here. There's no talk, there's nothing. Nothing that would divert your attention from Allah Ta'ala. The third thing that I've noticed nowadays, right? Many people are guilty of it, but they don't realize that they are guilty of it, right? You see, a man's satr is from the navel to the knee, right? When you say satr, that area has to be covered. And covered in such a way that contours, etc., the shape of that body mustn't be revealing. Imagine a woman, right? So she, her whole body is parda, right? Supposed to be concealed. But if she, her body is concealed, but it's a tight-fitting outfit, will you say that she is covered? Will you say that her body is concealed? She's concealed, but she's revealing herself. So, like her whole body is supposed to be covered, our body as men, from the navel to the knee, must be covered. Covered in such a way that the contours, the shape, etc., is not revealing. Now, sometimes you're wearing a very bright kurta, a bright ijar, trouser, right, and under a bright light. And many times it happens, you can see the person's underwear. One is the clothing is tight-fitting, and then it's a thin fabric, and he's under a bright light. Is that right? The house of Allah Ta'ala, is that right? So it must be a little bit thick. The body must be concealed. The shape of the body mustn't be revealing. Now this is a requirement. Like in a woman, if it's body fit, you say it's wrong. You say it's immoral, immodest. Similarly, in the case of a man, when this part of the body to here, it's covered, but it's revealing, the whole contour, the shape of it is revealing, or it's a light fabric, and you can see through. You must be a little bit careful about this. I'm saying this because, like I say, we are ushering into the months of Hajj, right? Mubarak months. We want to gain the maximum. Nobody must lose. Everybody must gain and gain the maximum. So these are three adab that I just explained in between this hadith, right? So this Laqit ibn Sabira, he says, we have come and we are wanting to see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But we didn't find Hazrat Nabi Sallam, we found Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. So, perhaps behind the screens, she showed some hospitality, whatever was available, she showed the hospitality. And it wasn't long, and then Nabi Sallam had just arrived. Now, the first thing Nabi Sallam inquired, Hal ta'imtum aw akaltum shi'an, have you eaten something? Now you see, Islamic ethos, person, someone comes to the house, then how do you treat the person? How do you speak to this person? That's why the hadith says, لا تتخذوا بيوتكم قبورا. Don't make your home a قبرستان. They've given different explanations to this, but one simple explanation is this: that in a قبرستان you don't have a برائي and a party there. At home, if someone came, برائي, party, whatever, make him feel comfortable, show him the respect, put something before him. But now, there was another hadith I just want to share with you. Sahabi says that we have come in, and what was presented to us was khajur. وَكَانَ الشَّانُ إِذَّاكَ دُونٌ. It says, you know, at that time, they were in constraints, so because they were in constraints, all they presented with was some khajur, some dates. Right. Now just look at it, how this applies to us. Now, mehman, someone came at some whatever time. Now the woman will say, you know, prepare for them. You're going to dirty the kitchen, all that. It's just some sweets and all, just put it before them. So there's no miss. I ask you, is that this type of hospitality that we show, or we require to show? Ibrahim alayhi salam, he didn't even ask, and he presented a roasted calf. Received the mehman straight away. According to your status, financial capability, etc., something is presented. That the mehman also feels, no, mashallah, you show respect to him. Oh, now you just present one box of sweets, take something. Elderly person, oh God, chewing gum or sweet khata pirega. Imagine. So Aisha radhiyallahu anha, she said, lady, now this is not the reason we have eaten. Right. Now that ended, and that ended, so the herdsman of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was going through, returning his sheep, or whatever it may have been, you know, back to the pen. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, ma walatta, you know, that one was pregnant expecting, so what has she delivered? Explain what, one bahmat and whatever, one sheep, one goat. So then he says to him, Nabi Sam says to the herdsman, Izbah makanaha shatan. That in place of the one, this one increased, then you slaughter one. Right? In the place of this one that has increased, right, you slaughter one. Right? And then he says, turning around to the mehman, لا تحسبن ولا تحسبن أن من أجلك ذبحناها. Don't think that we spotted this for you. I thought of the hadith. Why the Nabi said this? So two explanations came to my mind. This is a delegation, so it's a high profile. When a high profile person comes in, you treat him with that level of respect. But now, if you overdo it, then he feels, you know, you're making it heavy for this person here. So they won't live, they won't stay here like they want to stay here. Now here they're coming in to learn Islam. And when they're coming here to learn Islam, then they need to learn Islam per bharin, full, learn it and learn it well. So they can only do that if they stay here for a nice period of time. If they're coming, just jetting in and jetting out, you know, you can't learn Islam like this. So if we settle, see how it is, how the ambience, how the surrounding, how they interact, how they do the business, how is the namaz time, azan, taharat, all these things. It will take time for them to learn these things and for these values to settle in their mind. So now if they feel that Nabi Sallam is going out of his way to show them the hospitality, perhaps they'll cut the stay. They won't stay like how they need to stay. So don't think we have done this for you. But then why did, the obvious question will be, then why do you slaughter the animal? Indana miyatashat. We have got 100. La nuridu an tazid. We don't want that thing to increase. Now I just stop here. See what Nabi is saying? That we have got 100 sheep and we don't want that thing to increase. You got 5 million. You want an increase or you want it to stop there? Say, mashallah, bo barakat. Anybody, 1 billion, you want to stop, increase. Now, are we in conformity with the sunnah, I ask? Nabi Sahib had to keep that 100 amount. He wouldn't have kept that as well. But now, Every coming day, there's a delegation coming, there's mihman coming, and Nabi Sam has to feed them. He didn't have freezers and all that, where you could store the stockpile. So, if mihman came according to the number of mihman that comes, and he had to slaughter an animal and feed the mihman. So, for the sake of the mihman, he had to keep this thing. Otherwise, we don't want it to increase, go over 100, we don't want it. See, this lessons of qanaat, you know, contentment, is leading the life. He's got it, I need to have it. And what I've got is not enough, I'm not happy. And what Islam is teaching us, قَنِّعْنِي بِمَا رَزَقْتَنِي. Allah Pak, give me contentment. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ رَضُوا مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. As my mind was going, as the Imam was reading, مَا كَانَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَدَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And all this, when he started reading that, so my mind went to work on this contentment, etc. So the ayat that came to my mind at that time, لَوْ أَنَّهُمْ رَضُوا مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. What Allah Pak wants is what you got, be happy with it. Not why he's got it, and why don't I have it. Whatever you've got, but be happy. And the way to make yourself happy is to say, really, I don't deserve this. It was just the favor of Allah Ta'ala that I have been blessed like this. And with conviction, not just a lip service, but with conviction that definitely it's a favor of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. I don't deserve this. Allah Ta'ala has given it to me. سَيُؤْتِينَ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. He's given us, he'll give us again. But to be happy with the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever it is, deeni, dunya, but the gift Allah is giving, to be happy, and to feel really, I am not eligible to this. It is just the grace of Allah ta'ala that I have been blessed like this. See, the root of our happiness is, one is contentment, and one is not to have expectations. You know, Hazrat Ji Hamza used to give this statement, I don't know how many times I heard this, kisi se kabhi bhi kisi se kisi kisam ki ummeed na rakhna aur mujhse bhi nahi. At any time, don't have any expectations in any person, and not even me. So I thought about this, then I said, I want to say this statement, where it's coming from. Because it's a very beautiful statement, and because of the beauty, and because of what it contains, I want to trace it. I saw it coming from the Shah Waliullah Sabah, from where all his madrasas are springing up. It stemmed from there. He sent it down to his son, Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib, and then so forth and so on. It flowed out to us. No expectation with anybody at any time. Expectation, hopes. When the expectation comes up, then you will have a fight. You will have a problem. I have an expectation with you. So, for example, we're going for Hajj, right? So, I got an expectation. So, as we are going, we are leaving. So I said, all right, you got some additional luggage, I'll carry it for you. Right. Now, once we are there, now I ask you, all right, you know, just buy this for me and get this for me. Now you say, no, I can't do it. So, but when you need it, I was there for you. And when I need, then now, you just turn your face away. So now, the whole relationship is severed, is broken down. This expectation. So the expectation is only in Allah Ta'ala. See, this iman and yaqeen can only be right if the expectation and the hope is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the moment that expectation goes on Zayd and Bakr, etc., that yaqeen is gone, the tawakkul is gone, and then there's going to be a whole lot of bickering, fighting, mental or real. There will be that problem. One person was in financial constraints and is looking for an employment. Can't find. High and low, he's looking, nothing doing. So he found a small job as a cook, but yeah. So he's thinking to himself, now, you know what, I can't find a job now, I got a job as a cook now, let me take this on. Because if I take this on here, at least the leftovers, mera khane ka intizam ho jayega. Because I have to be the cook all the time here, so rehne ka bhi intizam ho jayega. Boarding is done, food is done. So whatever that 2,000, that very small salary, I'll send it home, they can take care of themselves. He's already did the mathematics in his mind, that khana or rehne ka intizam ho jayega. Eating and staying, living here, that intizam will be done. Now, old days, you know, you're cooking food, so So you're cooking on the coal and wood, etc. So now, and the style, the protocol is that the cook must come and himself serve the food. See? He must serve the food. Bring the pot, he must serve. So he's brought the pot and he's serving the food himself for the boss. So he's thinking to himself, alright, something will be left, egg, boti, kuch roti reh jayegi. Some botis and some rotis will be left over, I'll help myself. Now that he was so tasty, the boss is saying, hey, a little more, listen, he's watching. That he's also going away. It was so tasty now, the boss is saying, you know, in India, so they call the pot, they call it Kaaba Sharif. So now he's asking, the boss is asking the cook, you know, zara Kaaba Sharif mein zara jharu bhi de do. Bring a, so let me just sweep it out, let me clean it up. Now all his hopes are all broken down. Every hope of his, you know, at least I'll scrape here, do something for the night, something for the day. Whatever hopes he had, every hope of his, every expectation, everything was lost, dashed. In that heat of frustration, he picked up that pot and he says to the boss, Zara, Hajar Aswad kabhi bosa le lo. You may kiss the Hajar Aswad as well. But you see this expectation. This is the root of the problem. By Allah Pak saying, Alisa Allahu bikafin abda. Am I not sufficient for you? That you have to go and beg from this person and have your eyes on that person and that person. I ask the people sometimes, but you are a wealthy person, you're showing generosity, you're showing everything you're showing. And if your wife is to turn to someone else for some favor, will you take it personal or not? Will you take it? Say, I am around here, my husband is not dead, I am providing all, I'm seeing to all your needs, and then, but why do you turn to this person? So when you take exception to it, then how will Allah see this? That I am around, but you're supposed to be looking at me. See this, where our problem is today, is our nazar is not on Allah Ta'ala. This person, that thing here, this thing must work out, but a whole plan, and it must work out according to the plan that we have made. It doesn't work out according to the plan that we have made, and we feel distraught, feel despondent, our hopes all dashed, broken down. The hopes is in Allah Ta'ala. Get that heart right. That heart is right. That's a, see, tajalli gahe akbaras. Zugandhi didn't say that it is the center of the tajalli of Allah. See, Allah Ta'ala's blessings, where does it descend? Comes here. So if the heart is right and clean, then that quality of the tajalli also will be good. It will pass on, permeate the entire body. Because the heart was clean. When it received it pure. And then that same purity will permeate the entire body. You will feel that whole barakat you'll feel in your whole house. Feel muhabbat, you'll feel understanding, you'll find a good feeling, full feeling of satisfaction. But if that heart is not right, now with all what you have got, but you don't find satisfaction, happiness, hey, this is not right, what about this? And if this thing doesn't work out, South Africa, things will crash, the economy is not right, this thing is happening, that is happening. So at any given moment, you will be in a parishan state. But where this parishan state came is that the heart is not right. And why the heart is not right is your nazar in someone else, not in Allah Ta'ala. Where your heart is supposed to be, Allah, you will make it up. So you teen Allahu min fadlihi wa rasuluhu. Annahum radu ma atahum Allah. Whatever Allah has given, be happy. Deen or dunya, whatever is given, be happy. And have that hope, Allah, He's given us, He'll give us in future as well. He's given us and He'll give us in future as well. A person came to Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So he says to Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Meri biwi bahut bimar hai. Wife is very sick, make dua. So Haji Sahib was a great arif, very great arif. Sometimes that arif is in a different world, right? He's in a different plane altogether. So ajeeb baat hai. Koi jail khana se raha ho raha hai, aur koi ro raha hai. What a strange situation. Someone is getting released from the jail and the other person is crying. Now he's at a different plane and he's talking like that. Then he says, Hazrat Haji Sahib, dua farmaye ki yeh sahi ho jaye, ki yehi mujhe roti paka karke khilati thi. Make dua that she comes, right? Because she's making my rotis. تو حاجی صاحب سے میں دعا کرتا ہوں کہ اللہ تعالیٰ یہ خود غرضی سے آپ کو بچا دے. یو آر وانٹنگ ہر ہیلتھ ٹو بی ریسٹورڈ فار یور اون مطلب, ناٹ بیکاز آف ہر بٹ بیکاز آف یور روٹیز شی مسٹ کم رائٹ. سو حضرت حاجی صاحب اس کو جو کی ناؤ آفٹر اے مومنٹ سو دین اس حضرت میک دعا, یو نو دس پرسن ہیئر ہی پرومس می دیٹ ہی ول ٹیک می ٹو مدینہ. ناؤ ہی broken his promise, he's not keeping or honoring his promise. Now Hazrat Ali sahab really got upset. He said, mere samne is shirk ki baat mat karo, don't talk about shirk, madam. We see him, what a great thing, he's going to Madina Munawwara, what a great thing. And Hazrat Ali sahab saying, mere samne is shirk ki baat mat karo, kya yahi le jayenge to tum Madina ko pahunchenge, this person will take you, then you'll come to Madina. Khuda kahan gaya? It's because of him that you'll go to Medina. Where's Allah Ta'ala? See, this nazar, what I'm getting at is today, that you see, your rewards, the actions that you're doing, the merit, right, escalates proportionate to your yaqeen, proportionate to your consciousness, awareness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Now you're doing too much, you're doing, but that yaqeen is not right. Yaqeen is, hey, I'll do this, I'll get that, I'll get that, that property and this property and other property. And you think, gosh, what's going to happen? So your yaqeen is all upside down. So you may get some reward. But that person whose heart is right, his yaqeen is right, that Allah Pak gives, Allah Pak takes. Allah Pak, when he wants, he will give. When he wants, he will take. That person's little amal, really escalates, goes up. Because his heart is only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody else. His heart is only in Allah ta'ala. To just explain this concept to you, you got two persons working for you, right? A lot of these things need illustration, otherwise you won't understand it. Two persons are working for you, right? He's doing a lot of work, but his mind is elsewhere. You know, I need to open up another shop for my son, you know. So I need to get all the idea, need to get his clientele list, get his suppliers, get his clientele, and I have to just move it up on that side. And he's doing a lot of job, a lot of work, but see where his mind is. Yeah, he's not doing so much, this person here, but he's honest, he's doing a little bit of work, but you can rely on him, his heart is with you, his mind is with you. I ask you, if you only discover this person's mind, will you be happy with him? Now he's doing a little, but his heart is with you, his love is for you, his loyalty is with you. So this person's little bit is much more appreciated than that person's tons of work. See? So this yakin ki kamzori hai. That is the thing that needs to be rectified, corrected. Then proportionately our amal, our deeds, they gain value in the presence of Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, Ta'ala, astaghfir. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala rasulil kareem. Wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna ونكونن من الخاسرين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين.